Now, tonight I would like to read in the Gospel by John, chapter 14. The 14th chapter of John's Gospel. The words of the Lord Jesus here, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Or how is the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or no one cometh unto the Father but by me. Now the next reading in the Gospel by Mark, chapter 9. Verse 43, among the most solemn words that ever fell from the lips of the Savior, Mark chapter 9 and 43, and if thy hand offend thee, or cause thee to stumble, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed, than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot stumble thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now a last reading in Matthew chapter 11. Gospel by Matthew chapter 11. Verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of His precious Word. And what I have read tonight is the most powerful words that could fall in human ears, because they are the actual words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing so weighty as the words that came from His blessed lips. It's amazing to think that all the words we have recorded in the New Testament that came from the lips of Christ, they simply fill a 21-page pamphlet. When we think of the many documents that are in the world and the many writings of man and the large volumes and encyclopedias that fill the shelves of libraries, that all the words of Christ that we have in our Bible can fill a 21-page pamphlet. But those words of the blessed Lord, they will live forever. They're unlike the words of man. He said about them, heaven and earth shall pass away. That is, the created heaven, the sun and the moon and the stars will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so tonight, I have read some of the words of the Lord that will never, never pass away. What I'm going to speak about tonight is something that has been laid upon my heart very deeply for this particular meeting. We seek to get a message from God Himself, for anything else would be of little value. And in seeking the face of the Lord, this has been laid upon my heart. And it's a difficult message to preach. And we need compassion and tenderness as we're about to speak these serious words tonight for a few minutes. I'm going to speak about the ultimate destiny of all mankind. The ultimate destiny of all mankind. And I don't think there's another subject so serious, and especially in the days of apathy in which we live, and in the days of materialism, and in the days of pleasure-loving, and the many, many things that take away from the solemnity of living and the reality of dying. In the midst of a scene like that, to speak to man and woman about the ultimate destiny, where we are going to be, and where each of us are going to be when time and life shall be no more. Now in Matthew chapter 11, it's one of the four passages in our Bible where we have the two ultimate destinies of all mankind brought together in the same context. Now I didn't read the other passages where we have it, but I have read here the fourth time in our Bible where we have the two destinies in the same context. The Lord Jesus said concerning the city of Capernaum, "And thou, Capernaum, that are exalted unto heaven, exalted to the very gate of heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell." And so the blessed Lord, He introduces in one little sentence the two destinies that lie before all humanity. These people that lived in Capernaum, they had an opportunity and they were exalted with privileges that other cities hadn't. They were given opportunities to enter into heaven and they were exalted to the very gate of the kingdom of God. And yet He said, from that exalted place of privilege, thou shalt be brought down to hell. What He was speaking about was their eternal judgment that would fall upon them. So here we have heaven and hell in the same context. Now I want to speak about those two destinies tonight for a few minutes. Heaven and hell. And let me say that every single person in this world tonight that is alive is journeying to the ultimate destiny, to one of those two places. Every single person out of the 4.5 billion people that are in this world, made up of 3,076 different languages and dialects, and the 157 nations that are known in the world tonight, every single one, whether in a jungle or in a rain-swept forest, or in Alaska snows, or in a North American city, or on a prairie, wherever a man is found, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl, all of them are journeying to the ultimate destiny, heaven or hell. But the sad thing is that the greatest number are going down the broad road, down to hell. Tonight the millions of earth are journeying to destruction. And as we look at that narrow path that leads to heaven, how few are saved compared with the multitudes that die in their sins. We used to sing a little chorus in Sunday school, two ways before you lie, and you the choice must make. One upward to the sky, the other to the lake. Will any choose the pit of woe? Each one must answer yes or no. And so tonight, in two great processions, in two great streams, never ending in their numerics, there passed before the mind's eye those who are travelers to God's eternity, to the ultimate destiny, heaven or hell. Many have already arrived at the end of their journey. Multitudes have arrived at the terminus. And while we sit here in calm and quiet, this beautiful night here in a gospel meeting room, there are those who have left us and who were here when I first came 30 years ago. Many of them are in the glory today with Christ, which is far better. And a new generation is actually before our eyes. And yet there are many others who terminated their destiny, terminated their journey, and their destiny is hell. And while I preach, there are millions there tonight, beyond all hope, they will never be saved. You know one thing that you should do if you're not saved tonight? You should bow your head and thank God that He has spared you to this hour. You might have been cut down. We often sing that little hymn, "Preserved by Jesus when my feet made haste to hell. And there should I have gone, but Thou dost all things well. Thy love was great, Thy mercy free, which from the pit delivered me." And I want to say solemnly tonight that our meeting is divided into two processions. And right here in this, under this roof, at this moment, there are those who are journeying to heaven. And we never were so near the time when we will be there. Why, we couldn't tell. We might be there before another sun would rise. And there are others here, alas, and you're journeying to hell. But you're not awakened. You're asleep in your sins. You're like a blind man journeying to a precipice. He has no idea of the danger. And the sad thing is there are unconverted ones here tonight and they're journeying to hell and they're unconcerned. They have no thought of where they're going to be and the ultimate destiny. Now that's what I want to speak about, the ultimate destiny. And the man who speaks about these things plainly, and some of the things I might say tonight will be very, very plain. I don't want you to go away angry, because it pains my heart to have to tell you these things. There are other subjects that I would far rather speak about than what I'm going to speak about tonight. But he that hath my word, he must speak it faithfully. And I want to speak it with compassion and tenderness, because I know this from the reading of the Bible, that God desireth not one person to go to hell. The Bible says, in words like this, He desireth not the death of the wicked. God will, and the word there is, He wisheth. God wisheth all men to be saved. And if a man dies unsaved and goes to hell, it brings no pleasure to the Father, and it brings no joy to angels. God's desire for every person tonight on the broad road is this, that they would be saved. And He desires that you would be saved. And I trust you will think about it very, very seriously. tonight. Now let me say something about these two places, heaven and hell. There's nothing in God's creation so far apart as heaven and hell. They are two places. I know that modernism is teaching that heaven is what your life is here, and hell is what your life is here. And there are other philosophers that tell us that heaven is not a real place. It's a condition. And many others, false cults, will teach that hell is just annihilation. That if you die and you're not right, you'll just go out of existence. And that's what hell is. And so there are many, many theories about heaven and hell. But the Bible is the criteria that we go by. The Bible is basic. And the Lord Jesus, in John 14, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place." Heaven is a place. And when we read Luke 16, we read of a man in hell. And that man, he asked a very peculiar prayer. He said, "Send a messenger to my house, my old house where I lived when I was in the world. Send a messenger that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." That man in hell recognized that one of the greatest needs for earth dwellers was to have a man to tell them the truth and to warn them that there's a place of torment at the end of life. So heaven is a real place, and hell is a real place. And there's no places in God's universe so far apart. The distance between heaven and hell is immeasurable. And between those two places, there is a great gulf that is fixed. And whenever a man arrives at the end of his journey, or a woman, if that person goes to hell, he will never be saved. The gulf is fixed. You know, I don't know how you can listen to that if you're not saved. If I wasn't saved tonight, there's no one would get me out of this gospel hall until I knew I was saved. I remember the day that these things were real in my own experience when I was a boy of 19. And I realized if I die as I am, I'd be shut out of heaven. And I'll go down to hell to be lost forever. And I longed to be saved. It was real to me that I was a sinner on the wrong road. Friend of mine, whoever you may be, even you're only a child, or a teenager, or an older one, maybe a middle-aged person here and you've missed salvation, maybe you're old and gray-headed, and you have never been saved tonight, and I may never see you again. I used to preach a great deal in Fresno when I lived on this coast in California. And every time I went there, I visited a man. His wife was a Christian. She was in the little assembly. But he was unsaved. And I always went to see him and invited him out, and he would come. We were very good friends. Well, I had occasion to be in Fresno a few weeks ago, and one morning it was laid in my heart to go and see him. He's over 80 years of age now. And when I got to the house, his wife had gone out to do some shopping, and Mr. Kenny was sitting alone in the house. He came to the door, and when he saw me, he said, "I'm very, very glad to see you." He was unusually happy at seeing me, and I went in and sat down beside him. And we talked a little while about things. And I said, well, I would like to ask you a very personal question. Have you ever had your soul saved yet? And he said, no, but you know, recently I've been thinking very, very seriously about being saved. I could hardly believe it was the first time he had ever intimated to me that he had any thoughts about eternity. And so I told him the simple story how the Savior came and died on Calvary. Well, I went back to Toronto and I got a letter a few days later from his wife. And in that little card, it was a thank you card for visiting them. And inside she said, my dear husband told me on Sunday night that after you had gone away, he came to Christ and received him as his personal Savior. That's only a few weeks ago. 3 weeks after that event, Mr. Kenny fell down on his carpet in his home there with a heart attack. He was buried. But thank God for those 3 weeks, he proved to his wife and the Christians that he had come to know Christ as a Savior. Am I ever thankful that I was guided over to that man's house to speak a word to him at the very end of his life? And as he thought about going to eternity, you know, there may be someone here, and you haven't thought very much about this, but this may be the last time that the Spirit of God will ever move around these parts. And I believe he's calling someone here tonight. There are two places on the other side, heaven and hell. They're far apart, and 1 minute over the boundary line, the destiny is decided. There's no change. If man could go into eternal fire and be delivered in 1,000,000 years, there's parole in the prisons of our land. A life imprisonment means 25 years. And with good record, one could be out in 15 years for heinous crimes, such as the law of the country in which we live. But God's law never changes. And if a man dies, a woman, a boy, or a girl that has rejected our Lord Jesus Christ, and has died without salvation, it means all eternity in that awful place. If you're saved, even today, if you were to die tomorrow, the man that hung beside the Savior on the cross, he was in his sins in the morning, he was in Christ in the afternoon, and he was in heaven in the evening. He went to heaven the day he was saved. You know, if you got saved tonight and died in your bed tonight, you'd be in heaven for all eternity. But if you miss Christ and anything happens to you and you go into eternity, it'll mean hell forever without a hope beyond the tomb. So these are two places. Now let me say something about what heaven is like. And all we know about heaven is in the Word of God. I wouldn't draw on your imagination what heaven is like, only what the Bible says. And the very opposite, the very antithesis, in direct contrast to what heaven is like, is that awful place. And I pray God that not one here will ever go to it. Whoever you may be, what an awful thing it would be. We used to sing in the early days in the tent an old hymn went like this: dreadful thought, in hell to burn, never, never to return. Oh, no, no, never to to come back anymore. Isn't that awful? To go over the boundary line, never to come back, and to waken up in hell, lost forever. Now heaven is the abode of God. It's God's home. Whenever Solomon prayed, he said, "Hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place." When the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Psalm 11 says, "God's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold and his eyelids try the children of man." Heaven, said Solomon, "I have built a house on earth, a temple." And he said, "Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built." So heaven is the throne of God. And heaven is the home of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he ascended after he died on Calvary and rose again. The men of Galilee in Acts 1 stood looking up and seeing him going up into heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 9 we read, "He has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So the Lord Jesus is there, and it's the throne and home of God the Father. Now what is hell? We read in the Bible these solemn words in Matthew 25, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting punishment prepared for the devil and his angels." God prepared hell not for man. God didn't prepare hell for any human being that would be in this world. It was prepared primarily for the devil and his angels. But alas, not only will the devil and his angels be there, but those who have been duped by the devil. Satan hath desired to have you for his lawful prey. And Satan is a cruel foe, and he blinds the minds of people. And every unconverted one that is here has some difficulty that keeps him from Christ. Maybe it's a pleasure or a companion. Maybe it's some resentment that's in your heart towards some dealing of God that you have seen in your lifetime. I have known people to become very, very resentful at happenings that crossed their pathway and that hindered them from coming to the Lord for years. I knew a man once, and he wanted to be saved, but it always troubled him that his wife had died, and she never knew anything about salvation. And he was so resentful to think that his wife might be lost forever. And it really hindered him for many, many years, until finally he was able to overcome the difficulty and come to Christ. But every single person has some reason why to stay away. Now listen, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, but men are going to be there as well. Every Christ rejecter will finally be there. Another thing about heaven that I would like to speak about is this. Heaven is a place of light. In the Proverbs 4 we read, "The path of the just is as the bright shining of a candle that shineth more and more unto a perfect day." And whenever the believer arrives in heaven, he's in a place of unsullied light. The Bible says, there is no night there. There will never be a dark night in heaven. No cloud will ever cross the sky of that happy company who arrived there. The Bible says it is a morning without clouds. When Paul was saved, he said the light from heaven was above the brightness of the sun. Heaven is not illuminated by artificial light such as we know, however bright it may be. The Bible says they have no need of a candle by night, nor of the sun by day. Neither artificial light or the light of the sun that brings heat and light to man as we know it in this world is known above. There is no sun or moon or stars in heaven. How is it illuminated? The Lamb is the light of it. In the midst of that blessed place, there is light to which no person could approach apart from grace. The light of the countenance of the blessed Lord. The Bible says the Lamb is the light of it. Heaven is light, all bright and joyful, and its light may shine on thee. But hell is the very opposite. Hell is darkness. Darkness. You know, none of us liked the darkness when we were young. And there are many people, they don't like the darkness still. It's an awful thing to think of people going into darkness. But my Bible tells me that hell is darkness. There are words in Jude that I have often thought about describing hell. It's the blackness of darkness forever. And Jesus said in the parable in Matthew 22, there was a man that had not on the wedding garment. That wedding garment is simply a picture of salvation. Everyone that will be in heaven must have on the suitable raiment for the presence of God. And the Lord saw a man that had not on the wedding garment. And he said, how did you come without having on the wedding garment? And he was speechless, knowing to say. And the king said, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. Outer darkness. Young man, think of it, when cast into outer darkness, where no light will ever beam upon you, where no ray of light from heaven will ever dawn. In the darkness, Peter says, the mist of darkness forever. In that dark place where hope will never come. Oh, how terrible that would be to think that any girl or boy, any young man here or woman would go into the darkness. After I was saved, I remember kneeling down and thanking God that He had saved me, because in the squadron that I flew in World War II, I was the only survivor of the young men that went. And I remember when some of those planes came back and we laid their bodies out in the mortuary. We knew nothing about Christ. Nothing about salvation. And I thought, I could have been in hell when I was 17 or 18 years of age. It's a short life to live and go to hell, to be lost. In Ecclesiastes 11 we read, if a man rejoice, live many days. Listen to this. If a man live many days and rejoice in them all, let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Oh, dear sinner, tonight let me entreat with you, don't go on down to that dark place. Turn to the Savior tonight. I know you've heard the gospel so many times, I couldn't tell you anything you've not already heard. Heaven is light. Hell is darkness. But heaven is a place of deliverance from every sorrow that we have ever known down here. You know, this old world's a place of sorrow. We are born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You don't live very long until tears fill your eyes. In fact, we enter the world with a cry, and we leave the world with a groan. This world is a place of tears and sadness. I wouldn't begin to tell you of the tragedies that I have witnessed in my lifetime, and the many unusual and terrible happenings that have taken place, and the sad homes I have been in my lifetime. I just was thinking today about a phone call I got. A young man sent for me to come out into the country. And when I traveled out to the country, he and his wife were absolutely distraught. Their dear little boy of 3 had got entangled in a rope in the barn. And when I went in and saw that little lad lying there with his curly head, and his mother knelt down, it was absolutely pathetic. And the father, as they wailed and cried over that child. You know, it left a lasting impression upon me, the sadness of life and the tragedies of life. And that's only one of the many, many tragedies and sad things that I have seen along the journey of life. And sickness. To see a strong man succumb to a terminal illness. And to look up at a man's face that once was bright and beaming. When my dear dad was my age, he was a man of fine physique and his mental energy and power. And I often admired his physical stamina. But you know, when he lay down to die, his head, his face, was only about the size of an orange when he died of that terrible disease. And he didn't know any of us. We planted kisses on his brow. And I thought of the tragedy of these mortal bodies of ours and the sadness of dying and death and separation. One by one they went away. I'm glad I'm going to a place where birth or burial is unknown and where no grave will ever be dug. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no sin there. There will be neither thief or robber. The Savior said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where no thieves will ever break through and steal. There's no fear in its golden streets. There's no sadness and there is no night there. Delivered from all diseases and pain and pestilence and famine and loneliness, as we sat down to the supper tonight here, I thought of a third of the world that is dying of starvation. Today the cry of children in Pakistan and Ethiopia, we don't hear so much about them now, with their swollen bellies as they leave this world hungry and going into eternity, is a tremendous thing. But I'm absolutely clear as soon as those children that haven't reached accountability, as soon as they leave the world, God has provided through His blood a haven in heaven for them. I'm one of those that strongly believe that every infant that dies, that has never had the opportunity or the knowledge of hearing the gospel, a child, that when the Savior died on Calvary, He made provision for little children. And they're every one in the glory. Better that they had died in that famine-stricken Ethiopia than to grow to youth and teenage condition and miss Christ. What a sad situation it is in this old world tonight, with its tragedy and sadness and sin, violence. But heaven, sometimes I grow homesick for heaven, and the glories I there shall behold. What will it be to stand upon the street of gold and look into the face of the one that was marred at Calvary's cross, and to see the nail-pierced hands of the Savior? No wonder we sing face to face. Shall I behold him far beyond the starry sky? Face to face in all his beauty, I shall see him by and by. Where Jesus is heaven there, and everyone that's there have come through him. I read in John 14, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Have you received him as your Savior? I want to ask you down this side tonight, every man, every woman, and every child that can understand tonight, and every teenager among all you young people, young men down here and older ones, has there been a day when you knelt down and received Christ as your Savior? Or sitting in a meeting like this, was your heart touched and you said, Lord Jesus, I need thee to be my Savior for time and for eternity? Has there ever been a moment when you acknowledged I'm lost, that Christ died for the ungodly on Calvary's cross, and your heart was touched? What about it down this side tonight? There's a large number here. And some of you are advancing in years, perhaps. And others of you are still in your teens or early 20s, and you're not saved yet. God wants you tonight. He's calling in these gospel meetings that you would have this matter settled and put beyond all doubt, so that you might know the ultimate destiny. Where you will be in that ultimate destiny will be determined by one person. You. And you alone. I can't choose for you. Your mother can't choose for you. We have had phone calls this last few days from anxious parents and from anxious grandparents. And they're praying for loved ones that are here. I don't know whether you're here or not tonight. I'm not familiar with the faces here in this audience. But someone is praying for you that you might be saved tonight. Maybe your mother that used to pray for you is in heaven. Maybe that grandfather that longed to see you saved, his lips are sealed in death. Maybe your mother that longed with all her heart above all things, as any mother would. When our children were born, we both knelt down and prayed that God would save our little ones from going down to hell. No father or mother would be without prayer for his children. Maybe that dear face that prayed for you is still in death, and our prayers are unanswered for this hour. But God hears and answers prayer. And I'm looking to him that those prayers may be answered right now in someone's case right here in this gospel meeting tonight. Have it settled. Hell is different from heaven. It's a place of pain. It saddens me that I have to preach like this, but I have to do it. Hell is a place of torment. And I took time to look that word torment up. You know what it means? To be tossed as a ship upon the sea. Tonight there are sinners in hell tossed like a ship upon the sea, in that burning fire. And I read here in the Bible that the fire never shall be quenched. The Bible didn't say it, I wouldn't preach it. Never listen to anyone preaching that can't show it from the Bible. The Bible says the fire is not quenched, where the worm shall never die, and the fire never shall be quenched, to be tossed like a ship upon that lake of fire. Oh, what an awful thing. Heaven is a place of song. We love to sing these sweet songs of redemption. Did my heart good to hear the children sing tonight here these sweet songs? We were singing the other Lord's Day, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed. And we sing psalms of glory, songs unceasing, through God's endless day of days. Must be beautiful to listen to the choirs of heaven as they sing of the Lamb for sinners slain, as they surround the Lord Jesus and sing the praises of him who gave all that he had, Calvary's cross, for our redemption. It's a place of song. You know what Jesus said about hell? It's a place of wailing. It's a place of wailing. Did you ever hear anyone wailing? I can only recall in my lifetime hearing one person really wailing. It was one of the slums in a great city. I used to preach in some of the slums of Liverpool when I was young, and in Bristol, and Glasgow, and in Belfast. The slums of those great cities, oftentimes, it touched my heart. But this lad, he rode his bicycle too near the dock, and he went over the side, and they picked up his little body, and the day of the burial came. I had to speak at that funeral that day, and they brought the body home as they usually did, not to a funeral parlor, there was no such place, and so from that little two-roomed house, the body was taken out by his brothers. And whenever we started to move down the street, there were hundreds and hundreds of people there, it was a tragedy, as we moved down the street, carrying the little casket, there was a wave. Never heard the latest. And I heard the cry, "Oh, Sammy! My Sammy!" And I looked round at his mother, and she waved on the sidewalk as we walked down that little street. Never forgot it. Lived with me all the years, the wail of a mother for a child that had died. What will it be like to wail in hell if your soul is lost? To realize you need never have come here. I want to speak to you man to man to man. Maybe you've only a profession. You never got Christ. There's many like that. Maybe you've thought about it for years and you've put it off. To lift up your eyes in hell and say, "I need never have come here. I heard the gospel plainly preached and I knew I ought to be saved. I'm lost." You know what the wail of hell is? The harvest has passed. The summer has ended. And I am not saved. And I'll never be saved now. It's too late. Too late. Heaven is a place of countless throngs. The population of heaven cannot be computed. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands in heaven. Revelation 5 tells me, praising,
the Lord Jesus forever. Sinners have often said, if I go to hell, I'll have plenty of company. They're absolutely wrong. Whenever a person goes to hell, he's alone. He's in solitary confinement. Judas went to his own patient, his own place. And every sinner in hell, as soon as he drops into it, he's in darkness. He's alone. Never to see a friend or a foe. Lost! Lost! Not for the years of time alone, but eternity. I want the Savior clean. God forbid that one of you should ever be alone in the darkness of hell fire without a hope for all eternity. Lost. Yes. It can be otherwise for you tonight. I'm glad I'm able to tell you. Tomorrow it might be too late to tell you. Tonight I can tell you. And the verse behind me here will help us. Everyone knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's a sacrificial birth. It means he gave him to bear the loneliness, to be forsaken, to go into the darkness, to taste whatever we deserve, to pass through the judgment that was our due on Calvary. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's where you come in tonight. That's where you must put your name. That's where I put my name. Whosoever believeth in him, not prayeth to him, or pass through any reformation or sacrament. We are not here to get you to join any company. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That simply means he'll never go to hell. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Begun in your heart here and finalized when you get to heaven. What the verse is saying is this. Everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved from hell, and heaven will be his portion for all eternity. Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What will you do tonight? Will you rise up and go as you've always gone every time? Or will you say tonight, this is it. There comes a time when every one of us that got saved, we found out this is the night that God has really spoken to my heart. I've got to be saved tonight. God grant that you may be saved, whoever you are tonight. By the rich grace of God, maybe the most unlikely one that's here could be saved. Maybe someone we're not thinking about at all could step forward at the end of the meeting and say, yes, I accepted Christ tonight. My soul is saved. We're leaving it in the hands of the Holy Spirit. I hope you'll come to know the Savior and never go to hell. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we think of the solemnity of this meeting and character. The ultimate destiny of all that are here has been before us. Many of us are going to heaven. Millions of souls in heaven will be through the blood, praising the Lamb who on the tree shed his blood. But there are others here
that are going down to hell and are unsaved, still undecided. O God, we pray tonight that thy Holy Spirit himself might use the solemn words that we have spoken. The Savior said, thou art exalted to heaven, and many here are exalted to the very gate of heaven with prayers and privileges. Thou shalt be brought down to hell, lost from the very door of the kingdom, to be shut out and to miss Christ forever. Lord, save young men tonight and young women. Save boys and girls. Save middle-aged women tonight and older ones that are here, and older men, grandfathers, some of them, married to Christian husbands or Christian wives, unsaved partners. It's sad to think of it, homes divided. Lord, move thyself tonight, we pray. Overcome our weakness, our testimony that's so poor. Maybe some have seen things in the lives of Christians that have turned them away and hindered them for years. Grant that they may get past all the difficulties and overcome all the stumbling blocks and cast even the eye, that the eye would look at something to hinder, that they might pluck it out and cast it from them. Better to enter life with one eye than having two, to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. Lord, save people from going down to burn in hell, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.